From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The situation at the California border with Mexico is the focus of international attention, as thousands of refugees from the Central American caravan are awaiting entry to the United States. Most still remain in Tijuana, where they're stuck in encampments in desperate conditions. The United States is processing asylum applications very slowly, creating a bottleneck. Border Patrol's use of tear gas across the border some days ago marked the potential for state violence as mothers and children await their fate. A small group of nonprofit organizations has taken it upon themselves to provide aid to the refugees as best as they can. Among them is the group Border Angels, and Leticia Guzman is their communications director. Joining me now from San Diego. Welcome to the program, Leticia.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So can you explain what the situation is currently in Tijuana after the terrible incident with the tear gas? How are people reacting? Did the tear gas incident generate a lot of fear among the refugees?
Yes, actually, a lot of the refugees that I've been in contact with have been, it seems like they're really in a desperate mindset. They were telling me that they'd rather go back because they're escaping violence. They weren't expecting to receive violence. So a lot of them are kind of at a loss for words and don't know. They just feel stuck because if they go back, they'll experience violence. But it seems like if they move forward, they will as well.
So what exactly is the United States doing right now? Is there any kind of an orderly process by which people who want to apply for asylum, which they have the national and international right to do so, are able to get in some kind of line and await their turn and make their case to border authorities?
So right now there's a huge line to seek asylum. And as you can imagine, just in one shelter, there's more than 6,000 people. And we're expecting that there's just about more or less 10,000 people already in Tijuana. So a lot of these individuals, they don't really know what steps to take. They don't know if they have to cross the border in order to get asylum, or they don't know whether they have to go to a port of entry and get asylum. Both ways are actually legal, which a lot of them don't really know. And then so when they get caught, when they cross the border, the U.S. officials give them a paper to sign, and then that signature is pretty much they're self-deporting. And a lot of them, well, one of them that had gotten back to Honduras mentioned to me that he had signed this, and he didn't know because it was all in English, so he didn't really have anyone to translate to him, so he thought he had to sign it, and they sent him back. So a lot of these individuals are just really misinformed. They don't have access to a source of information. They don't know where to go, what steps to take. And a lot of them don't have access to a lawyer to stand or give them the advice that they need in order to proceed with their legal issues.
So as I understand it, it used to be that one could apply for asylum however one entered the country or at ports of entry at the border. But now, because the Trump administration has been trying in many different ways to change the rules of how asylum is applied for, it sounds like the government is sort of trying to trick some of these individuals, knowing that they might be ignorant of their rights.
Yeah, and we see that too as the organization that's working directly with them. It seems like we tell them one thing and then they've heard something else. So it's like they're being purposely misinformed, and it seems like everything's kind of disorganized. Some people don't know what is going on. This is the first time they've been outside of their country. And so such a huge amount of people not knowing what's going on can cause a lot of uproar between them, and it's organizations like ours and other nonprofit organizations that need to step in and help, because obviously the government has not been providing them with the resources that are needed to seek asylum properly, and a lot of them are just confused.
Can you explain what Border Angels is doing to help some of these folks? It sounds like the needs are, broadly speaking, twofold, just sort of basic needs such as food and shelter, and then legal assistance. Is that are is Border Angels providing some of both?
Well, right now what we've been working on is getting right now what we've been working on is getting cards that we can pass out to them that say just basic things that they need to know
Like an
their benefits.
information card?
Yeah, like information of their rights and things that they need to know in order to seek asylum. And so we've been working on that, but since it has been only 2 weeks since they've been here, it's been such a rush, and we've been trying to help out with the most that we can with the basic needs because a lot of them don't even have socks. A lot of kids are just running around barefoot, so we feel like we need to tend to those needs first. But we have been working on those cards, and hopefully, we will have them done by the end of next week.
And winter is basically here, even though San Diego and Tijuana area is warmer than the rest of the country. If you're living in a tent and you don't have socks and you're a child, it can get incredibly cold. And already this population is vulnerable to health condition problems, given that they've trekked thousands of miles for weeks just to get here, right? Hundreds of miles, I should say.
Yeah, so what we've been really asking for in donations is tarps, waterproof tarps that they could put over their tents, or even tents, because a lot of them don't have tents themselves. So we were thinking that maybe just with donating tarps that are only like $3, those can be like made into a tent itself, because right now it's raining, and the shelter that we had gone to, the floor was flooded, and so people were kind of all stuck in one area where there was kind of shade so that could cover them from the rain. But then there's also people that there's so many people that they don't fit into that shade, so it's a situation. And I had seen also on some videos from this week that they were trying to put shirts up to cover themselves, like a like as if that was the base for their tent or whatever. But I think it's just heartbreaking because you want to be able to help everyone, but there's just so many people, and we need all the help that we can get right now.
So, do the donations that people can make to your organization also cover legal assistance and legal aid in addition to some of these immediate needs? Or are you basically putting the money towards creating the information cards?
So right now we've been doing the information cards, but we've been kind of just doing that on the side. But we do have also here in our office, we have meetings, or not meetings, free legal assistance on Tuesdays. So if they were to make it and get asylum over here, they could come to our office on Tuesday, and we could give them tips on or pretty much the next step to take in order to gain citizenship or to get your work visas.
So for those
But
who might have at least entered the country, and they may be able to get some assistance from your office.
yes.
So let's also talk about the incredible difficulty that some of these folks are going to have if they do make it into this country. They're facing a very, very hostile environment. Border Patrol is promising violence. Are most people stuck on the other side because it's become so hard to cross the border?
Yes, I mean, I think that that's a lot of them are fearful of what to expect. They don't know. Like I said, it's the first time that they've ever gone outside of Central America. It's their first time being in Mexico, and it's their first time being so close to America that it's really overwhelming for them, and they kind of need the guidance or need some type of information. So I think that we just need to be better, and as a nation itself, I think we need to provide those resources to people that are actually seeking asylum and seeking refuge, because they're obviously escaping political violence, extreme poverty, we need to be able to be there for those kinds of people.
And so your organization, Border Angels, is not a new organization, right? You've been around for a while. The issues at the border did not begin with Trump. Tell us a little bit about the work that Border Angels does, because I understand that when there isn't this kind of crisis in San Diego, Tijuana area, your organization also does water drops, leaving water for migrants that might be crossing the border on foot and other such things.
Yes, so what we were doing previous to the migrant caravan is that we're still doing that as well, and we've been getting so many volunteers, but what we do is water drops. And so water drops are basically we take water gallons and we go place them along migrant passing routes in the desert closest to the Mexico and California border. And so that's usually what we do. And sometimes, well, actually, right now we've been putting sweaters or packs of with food and with toothbrushes, toothpaste, feminine products. And those are usually really necessary when people have already walked so much and have already been through so much that a lot of the times when migrants are crossing, what the number one reason why there's many migrant deaths is because of dehydration. So that was the idea that had sparked this organization, is that we need to help out. We need to put water out in the desert because that has the potential of saving someone's life. And if it's just going to save one person's life, then that's enough.
So now your work has expanded with this crisis with the caravan at the border. Some might have suggested that we've had plenty of these sorts of caravans or people coming through, and that the only reason we're focusing on this now is that Trump is drawing attention to it. But is that true? I mean, if you are working at the border, would you say that what we're seeing right now is unprecedented, or at least highly unusual, or is it somewhat normal?
No, we've been struggling with this issue since Homeland Security came into the picture, pretty much. So we've been struggling with people that want to come to the US to get a better quality of life, and they can't because there's not a clear path to citizenship. So sometimes they do have to take the risk and come here through ways that have been criminalized. So we are here and we're helping them, but we also need our own government to step it up because it has been way too long where there hasn't been a clear path to citizenship. One of the reasons why DACA was introduced by Obama, because of this exact reason, is that there's no clear path to citizenship. We need to at least be able to help out the people that are already here and have already established themselves here and created a life for themselves here. We need to attend to people that need our help.
So let's go back to the kind of help that your organization is able to give, because I know that there's many people among our audience that want to be able to help, that feel helpless. Short of Trump being impeached, the only potential for change now is the election in 2 years. And in the meantime, what are some of the ways in which people can support Border Angels and the work that you do? What would a donation to your organization actually do, concretely?
Well, concretely, right now it's literally physically helping someone's well-being by donating just blankets, tarps, feminine products, baby formula, diapers, wipes, things like that. We have a registry on our Target. We have our registry on Walmart on items that are really needed right now. And we also have if you are here in local in San Diego, we do the water drops here. And we also have a migrant outreach. So the migrant outreach, we go the first Saturday of every month, and we go out to places where undocumented people go out and seek out work. So we usually go to the Home Depots around San Diego County, and those individuals are just outside waiting for someone to pick them up and contract them. But what we do, we go and take the same cards that we were planning to do for the migrants in the caravan, but they're pretty much know your right cards. So if they're ever stopped by ICE police or ever stopped by Border Patrol, they have these cards, and these cards tell them their rights and tell them, hey, this is what you can do, this is what you shouldn't do, and this is what is available to you. So they have these resources so that they know how to respond in that matter. If they're ever scared that they're going to get deported, they can look at their card and see, oh, hey, these are my rights. I still have rights. So what we do is we give those out, and then we also give them resources. So we give them sheets where they can fill out in case they ever get abused at work and they don't know who to report when they don't get paid for work. So we give them those cards, and they can bring them here on Tuesdays for Immigration Tuesdays, and then they can take it to the lawyer, and the lawyer can proceed with legal matters.
Now, I understand that at least Reuters was reporting that some of the Central American migrants or refugees, which is perhaps a more appropriate word for them, have launched a hunger strike on Thursday, protesting the blocking of the U.S.-Mexican border by Mexican police, because, you know, we talked earlier about the line, the long line of people that are awaiting their asylum application processing. The U.S. is only processing something like 100 people a day. And so some of these refugees have apparently started a hunger strike. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I heard about that. I was actually checking my social media and I saw that come up. And I was just really reflecting on it, and I was like, man, like I know that this is such a powerful move, and we've known that from other peaceful movements that Cesar Chavez did the same thing. And I think that this could turn into a really positive thing, but we also need to, I think, see the situation how it is right now and see that we're really trying to take out these resources and get as many people healthy as we can. And we don't want more people to be unhealthy. But if this is something that will be peaceful and will have the potential to create change, then it's on the people in the caravan to really carry this out and see how far it can go.
How overloaded are resources in Tijuana? This is, of course, a town where, a city where that has been used to having migrants passing through. There are a number of shelters, but I imagine that at this point, a lot of the infrastructure that is there to support migrants and refugees is at breaking point.
Yes, I think that a lot of people are, a lot of residents in Tijuana are also very unstable with the fact that there's thousands of migrants. So I think that what has happened is that they're scared that they might have to stay there because there's just so many. And so they're like, hey, we don't have space for that many people, that we don't have that much work for that many people. So I think that it's now it's a matter of either the United States to step up, because this is a huge humanitarian issue.
So finally, I'm wondering, Leticia, if you can also tell us about the registry that your organization has. You have registries at stores like Walmart and Target where people who may not be able to personally come and give you the in-kind donations you're looking for can order them and get them delivered, almost like a wish list of sorts to you so that you can distribute them.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's like a wish list. So it's kind of like those baby registries where you'll get stuff for like the baby shower. So that's kind of how it is. But this is obviously a different matter. But it's pretty much the same situation. They would get delivered here to our office. And then from there, we take it to Tijuana and distribute.
Also, if people can't do that or feel like they just want to give a cash donation, is there a way to do that on your website?
Yes. There's a link in our website, I believe, that has some cash donations, and you can click that link and donate as the amount that you desire.
So borderangels.org is where people can go. I imagine that the need is quite huge right now. As you mentioned earlier, it's literally only been 2 weeks, and the amount of attention and the amount of need is quite great. Have you so far had a positive response, or are you getting donations from people around the country?
Yes, actually, we've been getting so many from all over the country. We saw from even Massachusetts, we saw New York, Illinois and places that we don't usually receive things from. And I thought that was so interesting. And we've actually had not received one hate phone call, because we have received hate phone calls in the past. And you would think that with the whole situation, how it decisive it is, how divisive it is right now, that you would, but we haven't. And all the phone calls that we've received are really heartwarming, and a lot of people want to donate. So I think I see more positivity in this. I see more people wanting to get together and help out with this, and that's heartwarming.
Well, that is very nice to know. Americans can be just as compassionate as any people in the world when they have all the facts. Do you feel like there are enough facts out there about what's happening? It seems as though Trump has sort of the approach of firing tear gas and those images of seeing women and children running away from them backfired and really generated public outrage and a lot of compassionate responses from Americans.
Yeah, and it makes you really see that people are turning the page on hatred, and they're saying, hey, that doesn't work. Okay, we're not getting anywhere. We're getting children and mothers tear gas. Is that what we want as Americans? Is that what we want to be labeled as? So I think that once people start seeing that, they realize that this isn't the country this isn't what our founding fathers had imagined when they wrote the Constitution. This isn't what a lot of people expected from America, but it's what's going on, and a lot of people are fighting up against it and resisting. And I think that the way that this is going to play out is going to be really interesting and peaceful, I hope.
Meanwhile, our president wants $5 billion to build a wall along the US-Mexico border, as if it wasn't already largely walled off. I want to thank you again so much, Leticia, for joining us today. So borderangels.org is the website for your group, and we'll link to that from our website as well. Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you so much for your support.
My guest has been Leticia Guzman. She works with Border Angels. She's the communications director of that organization in San Diego, California. We've been discussing the situation at the San Diego-Tijuana border. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.